I'm Charlie Rickwood, Investor Relations Executive for Henley & Aquasonic, and welcome to our new monthly podcast series. In this series, we'll uncover the core identity of Henley & Aquasonic. We will discuss industry insights, market impact, competition, and the benchmarks of excellence. Join me as I interview the chairman, CEO, and other distinguished guests, offering you an exclusive peek into the distinctive qualities that define these organizations. In this episode, I would like to introduce our very first special guest, Ian Rickwood. With a wealth of experience and expertise in investing, finance, real estate, and retail operations, Ian brings a unique perspective to our podcast. As founder and chairman of Aquasonic and founder and CEO of Henley, he has played a pivotal role in shaping the landscape of these businesses. Join us as Ian shares insights and stories that provide valuable takeaways.
Hey, Charlie.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. You?
Good. So perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself and start from the beginning and take us back to the start of your career. What inspired or led you to start your professional journey? And how did it unfold in the early stages?
Wow, that goes back a long way now. I guess I am somewhat of a entrepreneurial spirit have really tried a few things through my career. I started out with a degree in economics and wound up starting my first job with Procter & Gamble as a sales and marketing guy. Great company, fantastic process, super people, loved it there. Moved on to Pepsi because a previous boss of mine had moved from Procter to Pepsi. Ended up doing various jobs at Pepsi, but ended up as the European sales marketing director for Pepsi on the beverage side. Great job again, wonderful people, not as processy as Procter & Gamble, but fantastic creative, energy in that firm and, learned a tremendous amount from the people there. But by the time I'd done that, I'd met the lady who was going to be my future wife, who equally had an entrepreneurial spirit. And so between us, we got going with our very first business. So this was way back now in something like 1994. 95, we started on the journey of an entrepreneur, and really had a few different ventures at that time. We brought an American franchise, retail franchise operation to the UK from startup and grew it out across London. We built a real estate platform at the same time, and also in order to make ends meet through that through this early stage of new business, I was also consulting, going back to my consumer goods business and consulting globally to some of the world's largest consumer goods firms. So a very entrepreneurial experience through that time, and in various iterations of companies, some super successful, some less so, right the way through to Henley, which we got going in 2006.
So when you initially founded Henley then, what were your aspirations for the company? Could you share the vision, the goals that you had in mind at the beginning? And, how have they evolved over time?
Yeah, if I'm honest, it's good to be honest, when we got Henley going, I didn't expect it to end up where it is today. Originally, we'd come out of various other ventures, and Emma and myself were keen to kind of take a sort of pause in life and things a little bit slower. And so we were only going to do some residential development close to where we lived in the just south of London and do some predominantly higher end residential property. But that was in around 2006. And of course, the GFC kicked in 2008, 2009. And we learned some things through that period about diversification, about both in terms of the activity that you do, but also in terms of the capital base that you operate when running a company. And so really coming out of the GFC, I pivoted Henley at that point and said, okay, let's really turn it into a more traditional private equity shop. And so we got growing from about 2010 onwards, which was a great time to enter the market because obviously a lot of assets had been depleted in terms of value significantly. There was a lot of distress in the market. So there were some really interesting opportunities. And we were able to grow the platform predominantly with financing from friends and family who knew us and trusted us. And they gave us their money and we did well with it. We made very good returns and they introduced more people. And gradually we moved up the the sort of hierarchy or the food chain, if you like, of capital, and ended up building out today what is a business that's deployed $3.5 billion of capital that has some of the world's largest and smartest investors investing alongside us. And has operations in not just the US, but across in Europe and different countries within Europe, and assets in Poland, Germany, Holland, Ireland, as well as the UK. So a really interesting journey. I'd love to say when we began it, you know, we had this very clear vision. We didn't. But what did develop as we started to deploy more and more money is we became very keen that that we deployed that money wisely and that we were seen as smart investors. So everything we've done, we're very analytical in how we look at stuff. We're happy to go after new areas where you haven't got a crowded trade because we think that's where you can get higher returns, but very defensive oriented as well in terms of using our best endeavors to reduce risk for any investors that come in.
And then, so can you please maybe provide us with insights into what Henley is currently actively involved in today? What projects or areas of focus are driving the organization forward?
Yeah, we have very clear strategies today. Within the US, obviously, our car wash platform, we're super excited about. We absolutely love the car wash space. And I know, Charlie, you'd have spoken to lots of people who might be listening to this podcast about what that opportunity looks like. We continue to be very, very excited. And we're really looking forward to getting the first stores open at the end of this year and rolling out more fund vehicles. As the level of investor demand is significant. And we think right now that this is the right time to be doing, you know, the greenfield development that we're pursuing in the US. And it's been really interesting. You know, we started on this journey a couple of years ago, and it's been really interesting just to see how some of the bigger players have got to the same conclusion that we got to 2 years ago in terms of where they're investing their dollars today. So that's been very reaffirming that what we've underwritten, makes absolute sense. So really excited about that business and the opportunity that provides investors. Then within Europe, we have a core and core plus sector, which is really for very institutional capital, low volatility, lower return, very long duration, but has very high impact. We actually provide houses for vulnerable adults. So people with a physical or a learning difficulty, we provide a long-term housing for that community who would otherwise be institutionalized. So really life-changing for those people. So very high impact, but also a good investment product for institutional investors. And then on the value add opportunistic side, we continue to be focused on what we're saying is brown to green on office. So office that's probably currently under distress, but in great areas where there's still going to be tenant demand, so long as it's got the ESG credentials that tenants require today. So we like that. We think we're able to go and find some interesting deal flow, very good yield on cost entry points. We also like urban regeneration and broken developments. We think there's great opportunity there, led by beds in any form. But we're looking to deploy more and more capital in across the UK and across Europe in that space. And then thirdly, the senior living space. And the senior living space in the US is very well developed. The retirement community type setups. It's very well developed in the US, in Australia, in New Zealand, and South Africa as some well-known markets. In the UK, it's very backward at the moment on any measure. And so we're very excited about seeing that develop, obviously with the wind in the sails because of the aging population. So we have a platform that we're building out there as well. So we continue to be diversified, but very thoughtful in terms of the thematics that we're pursuing.
You mentioned there that Aquasonic is Henley's sole focus in the US. Could you possibly elaborate on the reasons behind this? What aspects of the car wash market in particular appeal to Henley, and what potential opportunities do you see in the sector?
Yeah, and I think people can get more information on this from our webinar and the materials we produce, but just a couple of things that make it super exciting to my mind. It's large and growing. The CAGR on the growth of the market is significant. It is incredibly fragmented. The largest single operator in the market has 440 stores out of a universe of 60,000. So, not even 1%. So it's incredibly fragmented. The core economics are tremendous. You're talking about a recurring revenue model where up to 80% of your revenue comes from membership.
Yeah, so that's like a SaaS business model. That's really good, to get in the real estate space. The margins are very good. Even with people using the car wash lots of times per month and therefore getting a discount, the gross margin is very high, and the EBITDA margin with the right amount of volume ends up being greater than 50%. Yeah, that's far greater than other operating real estate categories that we're familiar with. So we're excited by that. So we like the market. We like the fact it's fragmented. We like the economics. And where we think you can add the sort of magic dust onto all of this is through your site selection methodology, and then through applying some technology to the product itself. And I'm not going to say too much about that in this recording because that's not appropriate. But what I can tell you is we've even gone as far as to work with Formula One aerodynamicists in how you could make the tunnel more effective. And so there'll be some real features and benefits of what we bring to market that others just don't have, and that excites us.
So Aquasonic has been described as best in class. What does that term mean for you? How does the product embody the characteristics that define it as best in class? How do Aquasonic's unique qualities set it apart from others in the industry?
Well, that's a tough question, Charlie. So I think the way that I'd answer that is to be best in class clearly means you've got to be better than everybody else, but better by what measure and better on what, I guess, is a critical question. We're a very consumer-facing business. We care about what the customer wants. And so in the way that we've formulated the product here, we've really gone out and spoken to and understood how consumers feel about car washes currently and what their biggest gripes are. And then we've tried to build a product that addresses those biggest gripes. Now, some of that is therefore looking at where the tension is and fixing the tension. And some of it also is where we've had ideas that we think people aren't even necessarily aware of yet because it's not been communicated. And so we've worked on some ideas that we've then run through some consumer groups to understand whether or not they would be of value to them. And we've had positive feedback on that. So again, I don't want to get into the specifics of what we're doing until we launch, but it's safe to say that the way we've measured what best in class is by understanding the consumer and by fixing the issues that the consumer has said to us most rile them about car washes currently. And then what I just add to that as well is how you handle your internal culture, your staff, your operations is also very, very important to us. And some of the things that we're doing there will be best in class. They're not necessarily unique because, frankly, we're borrowing some of the best ideas from some other great operators, but we intend to put what is the best in class retail operations and hospitality operations into everything that we do. So that combination is what will help us to deliver a best in class product.
That's great. Thanks, Ian. So as we wrap up our discussion then, could you please share any insights into your plans for the brand's future, the pace of its expansion, and what lies ahead for both Henley and Aquasonic?
Yeah, I think that we are very keen to grow Aquasonic out to be a significant brand in the US. Whether that's getting to 100 stores or more than 100 stores, time will tell. But at the moment, our focus is getting the first few open, delivering great operations, great execution, and continuing to grow and find additional sites in the southeast of the US. So I'm not going to put a number on it. I think we have staging posts that we're interested in. And perhaps one major staging post would be to get to 100 stores over the next 5 years. We would love to be able to do that. And we're working hard to try and deliver that. Time will tell whether that happens or not. Beyond that, we love the business and we want to stay in the business and we want to grow a substantial platform. So I would hope that in due course, one of the things I'm really excited about is taking this US product, which, the US lead in globally by such a long way, and taking it to other parts of the world. And obviously, being a Brit, I'm particularly thinking about the UK. The way we clean cars in the UK, I mean, it's a throwback. And I think if we bring what Aquasonic is to the UK, it will do really, really well. And likewise in other parts of Europe as well. So putting a footprint outside of the US with this brand is something that excites us and we'd like to do. And for Henley generally, you know, look, we've been going for 17 years at Henley. We've got a great track record. We don't get everything right, but we try our hardest to. And when things do go wrong, we work hard at trying to fix them. But in the main, we get an awful lot of things right. And as I say, our returns are very good. I'd like to continue doing that. There's still plenty of opportunity. There'll always be opportunity in real estate, and we want to make sure that we're at the, you know, at the front edge of going into areas that deliver the best returns and safest returns, the best risk-adjusted returns for our investors.
And with that, a big thank you to Ian for joining us on this insightful journey into the world of Henley and Aquasonic. Until next month.